This week, we are continuing our series on a psalm in a key of life. And I have been given the privilege of speaking to you this morning on Psalm 103 and given the title, A Life of Grace. Last week, Peter spoke to us in Psalm 99, looking at the theme of holiness, what it means to be people who are set apart, who strive to live holy lives, lives pleasing to God. As Christians, we are called to live like Christ and to be Christ-like. Alan Hirsch, in his book ReJesus, calls us to live missional lives, lives in which we are to be little Jesuses, as he coins it. We are to be Christ in our actions and interactions with others. And through being little Jesuses, people see something of Jesus in our lives, see something of his attraction, and are therefore drawn to him. Now, there's part of me that really likes that analogy. I like the idea of being a little Jesus, called to be a little Jesus to help others in their understanding of him. And to illustrate his point in his book, Alan Hirsch shows the lives of several people who have been little Jesuses, people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and a few others I can't remember. However, when I read about these people, when I think about my own life, I realise that actually I can't be like Jesus. Not really. Jesus was without sin. He was all loving and compassionate. And well, in my humanity, I miss the mark. I don't live a life that's full of holiness, despite my best efforts. I don't make the grade. Now, I could just walk away and say, you know what, this is too hard. These are unrealistic expectations. But what is beautiful about God is because he created us in our humanity, because he formed us, he knows that we're going to miss the mark. And yet, the psalm tells us that he crowns us with love and compassion. He is gracious to us, giving us the gift of grace, something utterly undeserved and yet freely given. We don't know the circumstances surrounding the writing of Psalm 103, but we do know it was written by David, Israel's greatest king, a man who knew God intimately, and this is reflected in the words of this psalm. David grew up in a time when the eldest son of the family received his father's blessing and therefore his wealth and status. David was the youngest son, so he wasn't born with that birthright of inheritance. David would have been left with very little when his father passed away, and his future was not going to be a great one. And yet, God had a different plan for David. We first meet David in the Bible as a boy in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We learn that he was a shepherd, the youngest son of Jesse. God sent the priest Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel, and God guides Samuel to this young shepherd boy. Not the natural fit for the next king, but this was not going to be a king because of a birthright, but because he was anointed by God and the Bible tells us was filled with the Spirit. David, despite being God's chosen and anointed king, a man filled with the Spirit, was still human. He, like us, missed the mark. And if we're honest, he didn't fully live a life of holiness. David did some very silly things. And I mean, he messed up big time. We read in 2 Samuel 11 that David falls in love with and has an affair with Bathsheba, the wife of someone else. When Bathsheba tells David she's pregnant, David uses his power as king to have Uriah, her husband, brought back from battle to be with his wife. However, David's plan doesn't quite go as he intends, because Uriah, out of his sense of loyalty to his soldiers on the battlefield, did not return home, but camped outside. David realised that what he had done may be discovered. And so to hide his tracks, he sends Uriah back out to fight, placing him directly on the front line, knowing he would not survive the battle. Uriah was killed in battle, and that meant that freed David up to marry Bathsheba himself. Now, these don't seem to be the actions of a man who is filled with the Spirit. Fortunately, David had a good friend called Nathan. And it's Nathan that calls David to account for his actions and tells him he needs to repent to God for what he has done. And eventually David does do that. David, more than anyone, knew something of God's forgiveness and grace. David really was no longer worthy to be called the king. And yet that was what God had anointed him to do. God forgave David. And David went on to become the greatest king Israel ever had. He became the father of Solomon, who is credited to be the wisest king of Israel, and the king who oversaw the building of the temple. And we read in Matthew that it's from David's line that the king, the Messiah, Jesus, is born, and he's born in David's town, Bethlehem. We don't know if David penned these words of Psalm 103 before or after the death of Uriah, but he is able to grasp something of the vastness of the forgiveness and grace he receives from God when he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." David missed the mark. We miss the mark, and yet God shows his righteousness to his children. Psalm 103 in verse 17 tells us. And in verse 8, it tells us the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Now, one of the best illustrations I have ever seen on grace was done by my friend Pete. I don't know how many sermons you have listened to in your lifetime. Perhaps you have a wonderful memory and you can recall and retain all sorts of information. Unfortunately, I'm not like that, but a good illustration I do remember. And this illustration is so good, it's worth repeating. It's a shame I can't tell you in person because, be assured, it would have a greater impact. But I'm going to try and do that over this screen now. While I was at Bible college, I had prayers every Tuesday morning. A whole college used to meet for prayers. And one Tuesday morning, we met for prayers in August at the college. And because quite a lot of people are away, with it being August, there was only a small handful. My friend Pete, who was in the same year as me, had been asked to leave the prayer service that morning and was asked to speak on grace. The prayers were held in the college canteen, and as I arrived for prayers, I grabbed a coffee from the machine. Nice. And as I went to my seat, I noticed that a piece of chocolate had been left. Pete spoke to us about grace. It's like a gift from God, something totally undeserved and yet freely given to us. He explained that grace was like the chocolate he had given to us. I liked this illustration, and as I enjoyed the taste of the chocolate going down very well with my coffee, I thanked God for his gift of grace in my life. As the prayers came to an end, Pete went on to explain that God's grace was much bigger than we realise. His gift of grace is totally undeserved and bigger than we can imagine. He explained that grace is, yes, it's like the gift of the little bar of chocolate that he had given us, but it's more like this. And as he said that, he pulled out a full bear bar of Dairy Milk, and then another, and then another, and another bar of Dairy Milk. He had enough full bars of chocolate for each one of us in the prayers that morning. I was thrilled. I love the illustration. And I thought to myself I would keep my bar of chocolate for later in the day, perhaps to enjoy in the evening after I'd had a little run around Ruskin Park. Pete closed the prayers and I put my chocolate in my handbag and started to think about heading off as I needed to be at my church placement in Camberwell later that morning. As people started to get up and leave, Pete stopped us. And he said that perhaps God's grace is even bigger than he had suggested. We as humans are far from perfect. We mess up all the time. We say silly things, we do silly things, and we think terrible things. We miss the mark. We fall from grace. And so God's grace needs to be even bigger than our failings. There is nothing we can do to put right the wrongs we create. So God's grace needs to be huge. We cannot earn it. And with that, Pete pulled out this. I noticed that Pete had a much bigger bag tucked behind his chair. And from that, he pulled out enough bars of this giant size of chocolate for all of this, for all of us. I held this chocolate in my hand. I was over the moon. Now, I love dairy milk, but you know what? I didn't deserve this chocolate. See, that middle size bar, I probably would have run those calories off in about a 30-minute run around the park. But if I was to eat this entire bar of dairy milk, which I wouldn't recommend doing in one setting, unless Hannah, Gideon, you fancy doing this for next week's challenge. But no amount of running would burn off the calories in this bar. I simply did not deserve this bar of chocolate. I had not worked for it. I had not paid for it. I had not been anywhere near enough, not enough nice enough to Pete to warrant him just giving it to me. He just had, and he didn't expect anything back. And it was more than I could have imagined. And that is grace, he told us. That is the size and the scale of grace that God gives to us. See, we live in a world of transactions. You do a day's work for someone and they'll pay you. You buy a gift for someone's birthday and often they will return the act when it's your birthday. You help someone out, they help you out. And here's one for the children. You swap a legendary pet on Bloxburg and someone trades you with another legendary pet. This transactions is how humans have functioned for the millennia. And it's a good way of working. But that's not how God works with us. We do not need to earn God's favour. We do not need to earn his love. We do not need to work for his grace. He loves us unconditionally and his grace is freely given. That psalm says, he crowns me, he crowns us with love and compassion. David understood this. He did not deserve to be king, and he certainly didn't deserve to be king after his actions with Bathsheba and her husband. Yet God forgave him. God loved him. He gave him the gift of grace. He restored him and filled him with this Holy Spirit. And David went on to be an amazing king, full of love for God and for God's people. So what does this mean for us to live a life of grace? Firstly, we need to accept that we will fail. We will miss the mark. Secondly, we need to accept God's grace and his forgiveness. As people, often the person we are hardest on is ourselves. When we mess up, sometimes we find it hard to forgive ourselves. But we must recognise that God is freely giving us his forgiveness and his grace. It is his gift to us and we just need to receive it. And finally, as God forgives us, we must be gracious and forgiving to others. Jesus in his teaching is really clear in this. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus says these words, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." We are called to be little Jesuses, to be like him, pointing to the signs of the kingdom. We are to live freely because of the forgiveness and the grace we have received. And like Jesus tells us, we need to be gracious and forgiving to others. I do hope and pray that you are able to grasp something of the vastness of God's love for you, that you can accept his gift of grace, and that you can experience something of the fullness of life that is offered through Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that through him, we are able to receive that forgiveness and grace that you gave to David. Father, we pray that you will forgive us the times when we miss the mark, when we mess up, when we say silly things, when we do silly things, when we are just so far away from you and your will in our life. And Father God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in our hearts and in our minds, prompting us when we've done wrong, bringing us to a point of reconciliation with you, so that we can be your hands and feet here on this earth, and that more people will have an understanding of the loving and gracious God that we serve. So Father God, help us to be missional people, people who live lives like you and who bring more to know you. Amen.